Hare Krishna. Just got back from the doctor's for a little checkup, a little treatment, a little puncture in the back, and I'm just waiting for our acquaintance, the bishop, to arrive. And then after that, I'll go back out to New Rajadam. We have a few questions here. The first one's from Raja Sevaki in Mayapur, and she writes, in the Bhagavatam chapters regarding Ajamil, it is stated that the servants of Yamaraj were unaware that there was any power higher than him, and thus they were baffled when their attempts to take Ajamil were thwarted. When they approached Yamaraj to question the course of events, their inquiries were based on philosophical understanding of the modes of nature, etc. Since they displayed knowledge in this way, why then did they not know of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And why did Yamaraj allow them to think until this point that he was the ultimate authority in the or their universe? Okay. Here we're dealing with the general topic of giving people knowledge according to their level of faith. The Yamadutas are naturally impious creatures, and their only piety is to have the association of Yamaraj, who is a Vaishnav. Still, although he's a Mahajan, although he's completely conversant with all principles of religion, still he can only give knowledge to his subordinates, his servants, according to their adhikar, according to their level of advancement. No doubt things go on under Yamaraj's jurisdiction in a dharmic way, and therefore the Yamadutas are conversant with certain aspects of dharma, at least in as much as it relates to their service, and therefore they're also conversant with some aspects of spiritual knowledge. But it seems that up until this point they were not aware of transcendental knowledge. They were not aware of the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's because they weren't advanced enough to do so. They trusted their own experience, their sensory perception, the person who they saw as the ultimate controller who punished all sinful people was Yamaraj, and therefore they considered him to be all-powerful. That was their faith, their Shraddha, and Yamaraj didn't discourage that, but rather he had faith in the course of events, being Trikalagya, that in due course of time these Yamadutas would meet up with the Vishnudutas, and by the contact with the Vishnudutas, the inevitable would happen. And what was that inevitable? Well, the Yamadutas are empowered to perform a certain service. That empowerment is based upon the power of Yamaraj. When they met the Vishnudutas face to face, they saw that here were living entities whose power exceeded their own. That means the person who they represented, the person who empowered them, must be more powerful than Yamaraj. That means that by logical deduction, by sense perception, they came to the conclusion that there must be someone more powerful than Yamaraj, and because that was the level of their faith, that they have faith in that which they experience and that which they deduce, then they came back and wanted to know from Yamaraj, well, who is this superior person who is more superior to you, and we want to know more about these truths. And at that point, since by their own experience, the faith and the inquisitiveness of the Yamadutas increased, they'd come to the level of Brahma Jignasa, now Yamaraj could reply to them. And of course, another very important aspect is that the Yamadutas also saw the Vishnudutas. They had the association of the eternal associates of the Lord. And that darshan, that association, hearing the Vishnu Duras, the impression that the Vishnu Duras' presence had upon their heart, gave them the further qualification to then advance in spiritual life. Now here we have another question from Gornitai. Gornitai is asking about the Bhagavatam talks we've had about Prithu Maharaj. And he says, in Srimad Bhagavatam it's described how all of the demigods, including the personified earth, came and offered gifts to Prithu Maharaj, which leads one to understand that they were in the know about Prithu Maharaj's exalted position. However, we see that later on, Bhumi Devi was in ignorance about his position, and therefore she became indifferent to his order. So anyway, he's asking the question that what caused her forgetfulness. And here, once again, the answer is that because Bhumi Devi is a conditioned soul and she's not a pure devotee, so like the Yamadutas, she also acts according to the degree of her conditioning. The demigods, in general, the demigods are Sakama Bhaktas. They're devotees, but they have material desires and they execute devotional service for the fulfillment of their desires. They recognize who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, but because they're under the influence of the modes of material nature, because they become affected by the lust and greed present within their hearts, because they become proud of their own exalted position as universal controllers. Therefore, matasmitirgyanam apohanam cha, they may actually forget the position of the Supreme Lord. There are even more graphic examples of this given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma is by no means an ordinary demigod. He's the chief amongst the demigods. But still, although he was clear about the existence and the personality of the Supreme Lord, he couldn't really accept that Supreme Lord Narayan was Lord Krishna, and therefore he challenged Krishna's position. Even Lord Shiva took Banasura aside in a fight against Krishna. So then what to speak of lesser demigods, as for instance Indra, when Krishna came to get a Parijata flower from the heavenly planets. Indra, even aware of Krishna's transcendental position, still challenged him because he was so bewildered by thinking that he was the controller and that something actually belonged to him and Krishna had no right. And this was already after he had been chastened by the lifting of the Govardhan Hill episode. So it may be that at some certain point devotees appreciate the Lord, and again at some other time they may even criticize him, forget him, because that's our tendency. Our tendency as conditioned souls is that we have the tendency to forget Krishna. Krishna bahirmukhya hona bhoge vanchakari. We have the tendency to turn away from Krishna, and that tendency will remain there until we become fully Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness means that you're always conscious of Krishna and you're always conscious of your position as being Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, in order to avoid such a situation, because the natural question then arises, well, how can I avoid from becoming an upstart, from becoming arrogant? You have to remain Krishna conscious. We may not be Krishna conscious spontaneously, but we can be Krishna conscious by practice, by regular hearing, chanting, strong sadhana, good association. That will ensure our Krishna consciousness, and that's so that we don't deviate and turn away from the Lord and the Lord's instructions. And this is a very important point because we see in the lives of Vaishnavas there are many, many examples of devotees who become apathetic to the process of devotional service, who concoct some new philosophy, which means that they again turn against Krishna, they forget what actually Krishna's real teachings are, devotees who neglect to follow the Lord's order. All of this is due to a lack of Krishna consciousness, and it's the same mentality from which Bhumi Devi dared to challenge Maharaj Prithu, although she already had recognized him as being the representative of the Lord as a Shaktavesha avatar. So we should be extremely careful because we're always walking on thin ice as long as we're subject to the influence of the modes of material nature. Anyway, I better cut this short. I'm going to go because the bishop is on his way and will be in touch with you tomorrow from New Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.